The eyes of all of them were on Jesus, and he said to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." You may be seated. I think I'll take the clicker for you. Thank you. Well, welcome. Glad all of you braved the cold to come out. A new thing now, instead of scaring you with how many sticky notes I have, I usually have them in the reverse order and I go like that. Now they're just all in the right order, so you don't know how many are on this pile. So there. Yeah, throw some blank ones in. So, and you'll be happy to know I received a gift this morning of a big stack of sticky notes that... So we can continue. I mean, and you'll see after today, I needed them. So, this morning, in keeping with the spirit of the political world and the country, we're going to do our State of the Parish address. And they joked at Bible study, you know, with all that's going on with the whole State of the Union thing, that, you know, I was going to have Nancy Pelosi come and sit in a big chair behind me while I gave the address, but yeah, she wouldn't do that. So, but then I was reminded that as I give this, the ones, you know, behind me is him. So that's a little scarier. But today, we're going to start with some nuts and bolts, and this is just informational. We do this every year, and just so that you know what's going on. And we're going to just briefly review our 2018 finances. Some of you have already received, if not within the next couple of days, you'll get your year-end giving statement in the mail, and you'll see what you gave to the parish in 2018, and there's a letter from me and a little chart for you to look at. So I encourage you to look at that. And you have any questions, just get a hold of us, no problem. But in 2018, these are there's some estimates up there, but we're really close. I have to look at the final detail of it, but we basically budgeted to receive $47,000. And our budgeted expenses were $46,085. What we actually brought in was $50,860. You see, that includes some money that was given to us early. And our estimated expenses were right around where they're supposed to be, around the $47,000. That means that, give or take, we had a surplus in our budget of about $3,800. Not really big numbers, but, you know, good for us that we aren't, you know, in the red. We haven't, you know, been going backwards in that regard. But what that amount of money allows us to do is to maintain pretty much, you know, the function of the place. Keep the lights on, keep the heat on, that kind of thing. We haven't been able to do, you know, there's not a lot extra to do projects, but we've had no major expenses, which is nice. You know, we haven't had to replace a furnace or anything like that. You know, the roof hasn't caved in, anything like that. We've got no major expenses, but we do have some deferred improvements, and those are things that you need to know about. We'd love to address the windows in this building. I think our heat kind of seeps out a lot of the windows. The carpet has seen better decades than this one, for sure. And especially if you look up here, at least in the altar platform, I've heard so many different stories about how the burn mark got there, but I like to think that somebody was standing there and the Holy Spirit just zapped them. So there are some things we could address. When you go downstairs, you know that in the parish hall, we've got issues with the lights. A lot of those lights don't work. And so there are some deferred things. It'd be nice to deal with those. But by and large, you know, we're paying all of our bills and everything's getting done in that regard. And then just as far as any debt, we owe roughly $16,000 on the roof, which is well under half of what the original cost was. So that is going well. And we pay, you know, a payment for that every month, and that's in our budget as well to make sure that we've got that taken care of. And so that's kind of where we are. And again, I encourage you to look at your statement to see where you are. And it will show you, you know, what you did in all of 2018. And then there's a chart to break that down as to how much that would be if you gave it every week or every 2 weeks or every month. This is a nuts and bolts checkup in many ways, but this is also a spiritual checkup, because our offerings, our tithes and offerings to God, are a major part of our Christian spirituality. Jesus talked a lot in the Gospels about how people deal particularly with money and things. And we are called to honor God with our offerings. To honor God with our offerings. And so, hopefully, what the letter you received and the statement you received and the information there will help you to evaluate your call and how you are honoring God. The biblical standard for giving is the tithe, 10% of our first fruits. God's given you everything you have, and He wants you to offer back the first fruits in thanksgiving to Him. And again, this is all about spirituality. God doesn't use cash. God isn't interested in your wheat harvest. God's interested in your honoring Him in your spirituality. God even says, I don't survive on those sacrifices. God doesn't need them. But it's our way of honoring what God has given to us. We find in several places that we are to give of our first fruits. I think a lot of people, you'll find, doesn't matter what the denomination is or who they are or what church they come from, but that's a difficult thing to do. The human nature is to have things, and when we think about offerings, when we think about giving, we take care of everything else first, and then we see what's left over and give that in our offering. That's backwards of what Scripture calls us to do. We're supposed to honor God first with our first fruits, not our last fruits. And how do we look at what God has given us and thank Him for that and honor back with our tithes and offerings? So I said that biblical standard is the tithe, and it literally does mean 10%. So a dollar is 10 cents. $10 is a dollar. We're not going to go any further because I'm not real good at math. But you know how it works, right? And can we honor God with that? We say, well, did Jesus call us to give a tithe? Because we find the tithing principles, we find all of that in the Old Testament for sure, as well as New Testament passages. But it's certainly from the beginning of time, God has called us to honor Him with our first fruits. Did Jesus call us to do that? Well, actually, Jesus called you to do more. In Mark 10:17, the rich young man comes and says, I do everything right, I follow all the commandments, I say my prayers, I go to church, I do everything. And Jesus says to him, that's fantastic. Now give everything that you have to the poor and come and follow me. Give everything, give all of it away and come and follow me. Jesus didn't say, yeah, well, work on that 10%. He said, no. Give all that you have. In Mark 10:38, we have that parable of the widow's mite. Remember that story? Everybody's in the temple, and you know they've all given their offerings and everything. And this poor widow comes in, and she takes two coins out of her pocket and puts them in the basket. And Jesus takes those other folks to task, and He says, "You have given out of your abundance." You have given basically your last fruits and not your first fruits. This woman in putting those two coins in, gave everything that she had to honor God. So Jesus doesn't say, just give your 10% and quit. Jesus says, give everything to God. Well, is that what we're called to do? What is Jesus really saying when he says, give everything to God? What Jesus is saying, and you've heard me say this before, is that God wants you all in. God wants you all in. God doesn't want you to worry about one thing or another thing, or think that that God is with you, Jesus is with you for every aspect in your life except this part. God wants you all in. And what he's saying to the rich young man, because he knew that that rich young man couldn't let go of his stuff, couldn't let go of his money, that he was captivated by it. He didn't have money and stuff. Money and stuff had him. And that's why Jesus says, give it all away and follow me. Because he knew that that man was a slave to that. When he looked at the widow, Jesus wasn't necessarily saying, like her, you give every single thing you have. What he was saying to those, he was saying, you have to honor God. She's honoring God. Truth be told, I don't think any of us would have said to that woman, give every single thing you have and put it in that basket. No, we would have offered something to her. But God wants us all in. And that's the message from Jesus. And he's saying, you are important. You are important. Because one of the first things that crops up when we talk about things like this is the devil puts into our heads, I don't have enough. I will not get by if I make an offering. Or my offering is going to be so small that it doesn't matter. And that's not what Jesus says to us. Look at this passage from Paul. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by the one Holy Spirit we are all baptized into the one body, and it doesn't matter who we are. And if you look at the middle of that passage, or if you're following along in 1 Corinthians, it says, we cannot look at ourselves and think that we are less important than Jesus thinks we are. We can't say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body. Or because I'm not an ear, I'm not important. Because I'm not an eye, I'm not important. We can't look at ourselves and think that we are less important than Jesus thinks we are. Every single one of us is important, and everything that we give to Him is important. You matter. No matter who you are, no matter how much you're able to give, you matter. It's not that God is looking at you and saying, well, you know, you'll be more important to me if you do this. It's not how God's love works. God loves you completely. And He wants you all in, committed to Him. He wants you all in and committed to Him. You see, because it doesn't matter how much, the amount doesn't matter. It's the spirituality of giving. And if you did receive that letter, you know that there's a statement in there from me that says, if we had all the money we needed, you've heard me say this before, if we had a big endowment with millions of dollars, you'd get the same message. Because it's not about an amount of money, it's about the spirituality of giving and honoring God for that which He has given you. And that's why you're called to look at your own personal situation and ask yourself, am I truly honoring God in the way that He has blessed me? Are you all in? And again, Jesus talked so many times about things, about stuff, about money, because he knew where the stronghold would be. He knew what was going to grip us and what was going to get us. And all too often, we're caught up in a fear that we won't have enough. I think if you talk to anyone who has truly embraced, particularly financial tithing, they'll tell you that they have never been without, that they've not gone hungry, that God has always provided when they honored Him first, because God wants you all in. Great scriptures this morning. Everything kind of ties into that. We read from Nehemiah, and the passage from Nehemiah is exactly why we bring the gospel book out to you. We read verses 1 through 4, and then moved on a little bit. There's the because what we didn't read were all the names. And what Nehemiah tells us is it lists all of the names of the people that stood there listening as the Word of God was being read. And we stand all together for the Word of God. So that's why when the gospel is read, we bring it out to you. This is what they did in the temple in the earliest days. The scripture was brought out and everybody stood and gathered around it and listened and heard. We stand together for the Word of God. And in Psalm 19, we heard that God's Word is true. God's not lying to us. God doesn't tell you, I'm going to bless you and then not bless you. God wants you all in to receive that blessing. In 1 Corinthians, a passage we just read, we are all of us a part of Christ's body, the church. And we're all in, right? That's what God wants us to be. So if you're beautiful blue eyes, then be beautiful blue eyes. But if you're the big toe, be the best big toe that you can be. That's the message. You are important. Think of the body when the foot doesn't work. Think of the body when something doesn't work. It affects the rest of it. God wants to honor you. He wants you to be all in because you are part of it. You matter. And then what we heard in Luke chapter 4 is that prophecy is fulfilled and promises are kept. So through these scriptures, and as we move into this new year, we're called to take stock of our lives, to look at how God has blessed us, and to ask ourselves, does the way I live my life, does the way I spend my time, does the way I offer and use my talents, does the way I use my finances, my treasure, do all of those things reflect me being all in with Jesus Christ? That's the question. Do we show forth in our lives what we profess with our lips in this place? Now, that's not saying we don't. That's saying that we are always called to examine that. We are always called to try to improve our life of faith. And as we talk today especially about that spiritual discipline of giving, does that reflect how God has truly blessed you? So there's your state of the union, if you will. State of the parish. I'm glad that we didn't have the, you know, one side standing and applauding and the other side sitting there, you know, with those solemn faces. I dread it. But we know what's going to happen. So what I call us to do is to rise above all of that and place God in our faith first. Because this too shall pass. You know, many people thought, you know, the world was going to end when Donald Trump was elected president. We're still here. Many people thought the same thing when Barack Obama took office. We're still here. Jesus Christ is above all of that. And that doesn't mean that we don't become concerned or active or whatever it may be in those things, because we are called, you know, to participate in these things of the world sometimes. But God wants us above that. And that's what our message is today. That's what we hear from all of these scriptures. And so we go forth from this place truly examining ourselves and asking God, how can my spiritual discipline be even better? And God will bless you in that. In the holy and precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.